Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As you know, of course, we've been studying the book of Hebrews. The book, of course, was written to Jewish believers in the first century. Let me just remind you about the book as we think again tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since I missed last week as I was out of town. We're seeing some great truths concerning Jesus Christ. As we think about it, the goal of the author, why he wrote the letter to the Hebrews, was to turn these believers back to Christ. They had trusted Jesus Christ, turned away when persecution came, put themselves under the law, and the goal of the author is for them to recognize Jesus Christ is better than anything connected with law. And so in this section, as we've looked at Hebrews 11, he's seeking to encourage the believers to trust God day after day, and we'd say just to live by faith. He goes back to the Old Testament and shows men and women who took God at his word, who trusted God, men and women of faith. And for the last several weeks, what we've been doing, of course, has been going verse by verse through Hebrews 11, and we've been seeing a number of people listed there. We call this the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11 because this passage gives many men and women who took God at his word. Now, as we've said, faith is taking God at his word. That's what it is, living our lives based on the truths and principles of the Word of God. Well, this portion of the Scripture, although were written to encourage these Jewish believers at this time, probably before AD 70, we know that even as we read it now, it encourages us to see people who trusted God and took God at His Word. We've seen Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and the author has taken us all the way through the whole book of Genesis. Well, as we continue tonight, we're moving to the next book, is Exodus, because we're going to see one of the most famous men in the Old Testament. His name is Moses. He's called the lawgiver. And then this evening, I call it Acts of Faith, because it's not just Moses, but we're going to see his parents as well, and this whole aspect of decision by faith, and we'll see that. Let's begin with prayer, and then we'll start going through it. We're going to be at verse 23 tonight. As you know, even though we're only taking a verse at a time, we're going back to the Old Testament to look at the passage of what it's dealing with, so there's some great things. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank you for each one that is here. What a great night we have as we come together to worship our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the song. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace that you so loved us that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, to pay for our sins, and to give us eternal life as a gift simply by faith. Thank you that he rose again, conquering death and giving us life. Lord, we ask you that as we look at Hebrews 11 and as we see these acts of faith and we see what Moses and Moses' parents and all of these things, that we'll make application in our lives and we'll be excited and encouraged about living for you. Lord, our goal is to be faithful men and women because we want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we ask you that you'd teach us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, decisions, we make them all the time. They range from what socks you're going to wear to what job you're going to take and where you're going to live and who you're going to marry. There are a lot of decisions in life. Well, I think there are two key ones that when you think about us, there's two key decisions. I think the first one is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? All human beings are going to have to decide, what will they do with Christ? Will they trust him as Savior, believe that he died and rose again, and trust in him for eternal life? Will they reject him or ignore him? And so the very first big decision that people make is, what will they do with Christ? And then if you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, then you have a second decision. And that is, who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live for Jesus Christ? Will you be a disciple? And I think that's an issue that, of course, at Countryside, you know, we deal with the whole issue of grace and that salvation is a gift and it's not by works. And when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're saved and you're saved forever. And that second decision that you make is a service decision. Will you serve Jesus Christ? Will you live for him? And we call that discipleship. And so here's the question. As we look at this tonight, we're going to look at the life of Moses and his parents, and we're going to see some decisions they made. In fact, we call them by faith. By faith, they trusted God. There are really two things we're going to see this week and next week. They kind of go together. We're going to see this week Moses' parents and a decision that they made, basically going back to the birth of Moses. And then the second thing is we're going to see Moses. We'll see this next week on his decisions dealing with his life. And so there's a lot of things. The questions that I think about when I look at this little section tonight is, who will you obey? Are you going to obey God or are you going to obey men? And will you live for God or will you live for yourself? I've got an outline. I think if Matt can put it up, he found it for me a while ago. Outline for tonight is this is actually the next 2 weeks. This is Hebrews 11, 23 through 26. In the verse tonight, Hebrews 11, 23, we're going to see the decision by Moses' parents. And basically, they hid Moses and believed God. That's going to be the key. Next week, as we continue in this same idea, we're going to see Moses' decision. And that's where he was willing to leave Pharaoh, leave the household of Pharaoh, to suffer as a Jew, basically, along with those, and then to have reproach rather than riches. And we'll see that, and that's 2 weeks, and all this ties together. But it goes back to Moses and his parents. And what did they do? And so this evening, we're going to focus on those two things, and we'll see their decision, what their decision was, and why they made it. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. As you know, we've been going verse by verse all the way through. Of course, we do that always. We go verse by verse, passage by passage. As we got into Hebrews chapter 11, we started seeing all these acts of faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. And by faith, Joseph. I mean, we've seen it over and over. Now, we're down to verse 23, where verse 23 and 24 could go together, because it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, and then it goes on to say it. So we got these two that kind of go together, Moses' parents and Moses. And verse 23 starts off, and it looks like it's something Moses did, but it's not what Moses did. Verse 23 is what his parents did, and we'll see how that ties together. Let's look at it. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, as you know, all of these little sections begin with the same way. By faith, by faith. That means they took God at his word. This was an act of faith by Moses' parents. And notice it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents. Let's think about it. Anybody know Moses' mom and daddy's name? Amram and Jochebed, that's exactly right. And most people don't know that. That's really good, Jerry. Amram and Jochebed, they're not household names, but they were famous. Let's think about this famous family. There was the mother and father. What tribe were they from? Levi. There was a tribe of Levi, and they had three children. They had a daughter and a son. And then a son. Now, they had an older daughter, the oldest daughter. Her name was Miriam. And the oldest son, or the next son, was Aaron. And then Aaron was 3 years older than their third son, who was Moses. Now, when we begin the story, when you think about these people, they're living in Egypt. We saw that things have gotten bad. What happened last time, if you remember, when the nation of Israel ended up, or the family of Joseph and Jacob, they all ended up going down to Egypt because of the famine. And Joseph was a famous man because he had done such great things, and he'd saved, the famine had come in, and he'd saved Egypt from dying. And so he became a hero, and he became number two only to Pharaoh. And when Joseph died, people mourned, and they loved him, and they embalmed his body, and Joseph gave the instructions that when we leave here, take my bones. Well, Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh came, and this Pharaoh did not know Joseph, and he didn't remember him, and he was jealous and worried about these Jewish people who were really populating, and they were beginning to be a force, and he was afraid they might try to take over, so he put them into slavery. And so when we meet this family of Amram and Jochebed and Miriam and Aaron, they're in slavery in Egypt, and they're being forced, and it's some hard things there, and they're in subjection. This is the fulfillment of God's word all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, where God told Abraham that his people would be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. A number of years have passed. Amram and Jochebed have the two children, and then a problem comes. Sometime after Aaron was born, Pharaoh came up with a new decree, and that decree was any boy baby born from this point on has to be put to death. See, that's why you might have wondered, what about Aaron? I mean, here's, you know, Miriam and Aaron and then Moses. But nothing is mentioned about Aaron because the decree wasn't into effect. But a decree came into effect that any boy baby born from these Hebrews will be put to death. See, they said, we're having trouble stopping them, so if we get rid of all the boys, they're not going to have any more of them. So that was the plan. Any Hebrew boy, child born, would be put to death. Notice what happened. By faith, Moses. If you stopped right there, you'd think that the verse is dealing with something Moses did, but it's not. When he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Notice what happened. He was hidden 3 months by his parents. What is going on? Well, let's see it. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. Turn back in your Bibles to Genesis, Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the course of the Bible. And we'll start chapter 2. We'll even start with verse 1 because we're going to see what happens here. As you're turning back there, picture what would you do if the decree has gone out from Pharaoh that any Hebrew boy born will be put to death. And Jochebed says, I'm going to have a baby. And in their minds, what are they really saying? I hope this baby is a girl. I hope so. But he's born and he's not a girl. It's Moses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. We don't get all the names and everything here. The woman conceived and bore a son. Wow. In fact, just for your information, if you look back, if your Bible's like mine, the very end of chapter 1, verse 22 says, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to you, cast into the Nile, every daughter you can keep alive. So you can keep the daughters alive, but you can't keep the sons alive. So here's the man from Levi, married a daughter of Levi, and they bore a son. And when she saw he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. Now that's the same thing that we saw in Hebrews 11:23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Well, they saw him. They did not want to put him to death because all the way back in chapter 1, verse 16, the idea there, if a boy is born, when the Hebrew women, they told the Hebrew women, if you have a son, you got to put him to death. And if you don't, if it's a girl, you can keep him alive or keep them alive. And so what are they going to do? They're going to hide this boy. They hid him for 3 months. It says that they saw he was beautiful. Well, don't all parents think their children are beautiful? And we look at them and go, now that's a baby. Yeah, that's a baby. We don't know whether you know they're beautiful or not, but they all are beautiful. But I want you to realize, Hebrews, I'm going to turn back there for you for just a second without you turning there. In Hebrews chapter 11, here's what it says. Because we're going to see two reasons why they hid this boy. Let's just listen to me. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because, number one, they saw he was a beautiful child. Number two, they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, what was the king's decree? What was it? All boy babies have got to be put to death. So it says that when the baby was born, they hid him for 3 months. Why? Two reasons. They saw he was beautiful. And the word beautiful there, we'll talk about it more in a minute, has an idea of something special. And they were not afraid of the king. You know, when you believe in the living God, you don't have to be afraid of the government. Watch what happens. It says they saw he was beautiful. Both the Hebrew word that we saw in Exodus 2 and in the Greek back in Hebrews 11, that word means good or pleasing. Moses was pleasing. Well, what does that mean? We got to find out something. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. Okay, Acts chapter 7. As you turn in there, let me give you some truth that will help you on something. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the Old Testament, and especially when we talk about the Jewish people, you think about all that history. And have you thought about, you know, going all the way back to Genesis 12 and starting with Abraham and going through all the rest of the book of Genesis and all of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then you get all the way into Joshua and Judges and all that. And you think, man, that's a lot of history. Well, if you've ever wanted the Reader's Digest version of the history of Israel, just go to Acts chapter 7. Because this is where Stephen is going to give a great message about what God has done and how he's going to give just basically a history of the nation of Israel. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 20. Look what it says. It was at this time that Moses was born. And watch the next part of the verse. And he was lovely in the sight of God. And he was nurtured 3 months in his father's home. Now, the word lovely sometimes can be translated beautiful. Acts chapter 7 tells us he was beautiful in whose eyes? God's. The other two places tell us he was beautiful in his parents' eyes. But there's something unique about him. Why? Why was, in a sense, he was special as far as God was concerned? What is it? Chose him to, what then? God chose him to do what? Lead those people out. I mean, God, this is the guy that God is going to raise up that's going to fulfill the prophecy given to Abraham way back in Genesis 15 and 18, where God said, one day you will be slaves in a land for 400 years. You will come out with great power and riches and come back to this land. The one who's going to bring that to pass is going to be this boy right here, this baby born. Now, if we're looking at it from a human standpoint, we'd say that isn't going to work out very well because all boy babies are going to be put to death, so this baby's not even going to live. You would say, God, if you were planning this thing right, it would be Aaron because Aaron got to live before the decree went into effect. So how are we going to save Moses' life? I mean, how are we going to do it? Look at 7:25. This is what Moses thinks about himself, verse 25. Of Acts. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Now you realize that when Moses grew up, and we're going to talk more about it, especially next week, Moses grows up, leaves Pharaoh's household, because we remember he grew up, was raised until he was 40 years old by Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's daughter. He comes out to live with his own people, and he believes, he thinks they know or should understand, he's the one been raised up by God to lead the people out. And it says, they don't get it. You can see Moses going, don't you guys get it? I'm the one that's been raised up. How do you know? My mom and daddy told me. I think his mom and daddy said, you are special in the sight of God. God's going to use you in a mighty way. God's going to use you to deliver our people. And I think Moses grew up in his life, even living in Pharaoh's household. He knew his mother was. I mean, we'll know all that. Now, the first thing is they saw that he was beautiful. But there was a second thing. He was not afraid of the king's decree. They didn't let this law stop them. You mean they're going to disobey the law? Is it ever okay to disobey the law? I mean, doesn't Romans 13 say obey the laws of your government? Is it okay to disobey the laws of our government? Why? When would be a time you could disobey the laws of your government? That's right. Whenever the laws of a government go contrary to the word of God, it is okay to disobey the laws of your government. Now, Romans 13 says obey the laws of your government, and that's implying that if it's a law that does not in conflict with the truth of God's word, you obey the laws of your government. They were not afraid. Two things I think about. They chose to obey God rather than men, and they trusted God to handle the situation. I mean, here's a situation. You think about this. Do you remember what happened? They had this baby, and after 3 months, what could they do? They're going to have to figure out something to do. What did she decide to do? She put this basket, put a waterproof basket, wrapped up little Moses, and put him out in the Nile River and watched it float off. And she's saying, I got to trust God. I'm not afraid. I'm putting that baby out there, and I'm giving this in God's hand. And, you know, it just so happened. Just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter had gone down to bathe, and she looked out, and she saw this thing floating in the water, and she sent one of her servant girls to go out there and get that. Don't let the alligators get you. Go out there and get that. And so went out there to get it, and they brought it back, and they opened it up, and little Moses cried. Of course, his name wasn't, she called him Moses, which means to draw out of. They drew him out of the water. That's where his name Moses comes from. And she said, this is one of those little Hebrew babies. Meanwhile, who is standing over there watching all this? Miriam, the older sister, is standing over there watching. And Miriam is so smart, she goes right over to Pharaoh's daughter and says, would you like me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this baby? Who's she going to get? His mama. I mean, this all worked out perfectly. And, of course, Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, yes. And so he was taken care of by his own mama. She put him out, put him in God's hand, and God brought him right back to her. Well, they chose to obey God rather than men, and they chose to trust God to handle the situation. Now think about it. The laws of the nation were contrary to the law of God, and the truth is this. Anytime the law of our country tells us to do something that is contrary to the word of God, we have to obey the Bible rather than men. Have to do that. Moses' mother and father refused to obey the law of the land. The law of the land said, kill your own son. They said, we're not going to do that. We know that's wrong. You remember earlier when the midwives were told, the Egyptian midwives were told by Pharaoh that when those boy babies are born and you're there, kill that baby. And they wouldn't do it. And of course, they kind of lied to get out of it. They told Pharaoh that these Hebrew women, by the time we get there, they already had the babies. But they refused to obey, and they refused to kill a child because the Pharaoh said do it. And the Bible goes on to say that God honored those women and gave them children. The mom and daddy knew that this child was unique and special in the sight of God. We realize we should obey the laws of our government, Romans 13. I want to show you something. If you're in Acts, I still just left you right there. If you're in Acts chapter 7, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 4. I want you to see something. Peter and some others had gone to the temple. This was at the very beginning of the church, and they were teaching, and a guy got healed. They healed this guy, and the crowd all gathered up around him, and they told all about Jesus and the death and resurrection and all these things that happened. And so the religious leaders basically said to them, we want you to cut this out. In fact, you're making us look bad because you're telling people that we're the ones that crucified him. Look at verse 13 when they challenged him. Of Acts chapter 4. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, but they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Let me tell you something. People can tell if you've been with Jesus. If you're reading your Bible and having your quiet times and praying and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, people are going to be able to tell you because you were different. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they couldn't say anything. They couldn't say he hadn't been healed. And so they ordered him to leave the council. They began to confer with one another and say, what are we going to do with these men? For the fact that this miracle has taken place, and it's apparent to everybody who lives in Jerusalem, so we can't deny the miracle. So let's do this so that it doesn't spread any further among the people. Let's warn them that they no longer can speak in this man's name. Talking about Jesus. And, of course, they summoned them back in. They commanded them. This is the law of the government. We are commanding you that you cannot speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, look at this, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you judge. He said, basically asked the question, do you think it's, what do you think's right, obey God or obey you? For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Look over at Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 28. Once again, they called him in. Actually, look at 27. It's just as good. Acts 5, 27. And when they brought them in, they stood before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders. This is the second time they've done it. We've gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name. And you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, what did Peter say? And Peter and the apostles said, we must obey God rather than men. In our lives, as believers in this great country, and this is the greatest country in the world, we must always obey the Word of God above the laws of our country. Now, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I can't think of laws that this country says you must do. There are a lot of laws, or there are a lot of rights in this country that we would say, I wish people weren't doing, but nobody is commanding us. Well, nobody commands me to do that I can find out from our government that says you will do something that's contrary to the Scripture. Now, if our government ever commands us to do things contrary to the Scripture, I think that is the day we as believers have to say we must always obey God rather than men. I've had people say to me, I don't think you ought to pay taxes. I said, well, what does Paul say? Whatever, you know, if it's honor, if it's taxes, give to Caesar what belongs to. Jesus said the same thing. Paul said the same thing in Romans. So when a person says, I don't believe I ought to pay taxes, well, if the government says you owe certain taxes, you should pay the taxes. Now, pay the least amount you can pay. Do your stuff the best you can so you pay the less you have to pay. But if you have to pay them because that's obeying the Word of God there. There are a lot of things in our culture that are contrary to the Scripture, such as abortion, sexuality things that are out there, homosexuality and marriage and those kind of things we're seeing. But the government may give people the right to do certain things, but they're not at this stage telling us to do something wrong. You may think of something I hadn't thought of, but at this point. There's a second aspect. First aspect, they chose to obey God rather than men. The second one is they trusted God in the situation. This happens when we obey God. We have to trust Him, even when it looks like that it's going to be not to our advantage. When we go against the law and the culture, when we live for Jesus Christ, and the truth is, in our culture, when you live for Jesus Christ, you're going against the culture. You may not be necessarily going against the law of God's of the land, but you're going against the culture. And they believed that this child was special. They said that they're going to obey God rather than men, and they're going to have to trust God in what happens. Can you imagine now, any of you have children or have had children, you can imagine putting your baby in a thing, in a little thing, and putting it out in the water and saying, God, He's in your hands. I am not going to put Him to death. I'm disobeying the government, but I'm trusting You to take care of Him. Can you imagine doing that? See, they said, we'll obey God rather than men, and we will trust God in this situation. And as we said a while ago, the baby ended up coming right back to them. Incredible. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Well, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. And that was by faith because they did it, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict or his decree. They saw he was special. They were not afraid. Now, the bottom line on all this is, how in the world could they do this? Because they obeyed God rather than men and they trusted God in the situation. In our lives, there are going to be situations that come into our lives that you're going to have to trust God. It may not be something against the law of the government or something, but there are going to be times that you're going to have to trust God in a situation that is really beyond us. We say, I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to have to trust God. Bottom line, we make our decisions based on God's word. We have to trust Him. Are there areas that our government requires us to do things that are against God's word? If they are, we obey God rather than men. We are to obey the laws of our government. We're to be good people. But any time it places us in a situation to go contrary to the Scripture, we have to obey God. We have to obey God. I think back of Daniel when the decree went out, when they tried to get Daniel, and this is Daniel chapter 6. You remember the decree went out from the king that you could not pray to anyone except the king for 30 days. And what did Daniel do? Opened the windows and prayed 3 times a day toward Jerusalem, as he did previously. He said, listen, the word of God says, pray without, pray to. In fact, if you remember, Daniel, of course, had the scripture and knew it, that the place where they had built the temple when Solomon stood up and talked to God, he asked God, he said, God, when we get ourselves in trouble, and if we ever get taken off into captivity, may we look toward this holy temple and pray to You. That's exactly what Daniel was doing. That's why he opened the window toward Jerusalem and prayed 3 times a day. And Daniel said, I don't care what the law of the government is, I'm not going to stop praying. That's an incredible thing. Amram and Jochebed said, I don't care what the law says, we're going to keep our little boy alive. I don't care what the law says. So let's always obey God rather than men. The second thing to think about in this is trusting God in the situation. There are a lot of consequences in the first century. What could have happened to these men in front of the Sanhedrin when they told the Sanhedrin, you decide, should we listen to you or God? What could have happened to them? They could have put them to death like that. They put Stephen to death. Just like that. Same men. But they trusted God and they said, we are not compromising on this. Let me tell you, there are all kind of things. Let me just get practical. Don't ever compromise on the grace message. We were talking the other day, how many churches, I don't mean it bad, how many churches in this community hold to the grace message? I don't think of another one. And we can't compromise. We have to stand strong on the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and rose again. He gives eternal life as a gift. It is not works. It is not what we promise to do. It is not what we keep doing. It is the grace of God that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's what it is. And that's what we have to stand for. We cannot compromise. We cannot compromise on what do we believe about the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's word. It is perfect and true. It is the basis and authority for our lives. We cannot compromise on that. It doesn't matter what the whole other world says. And when we talk about our Savior Jesus, and people are talking about Him now because of the movie, and you got plenty of opportunities when people bring up, well, did you see that movie? What do you think about that movie? You got opportunities to say, well, what did you think about that movie? And we've got opportunities. But let me tell you, Jesus wasn't just a good man. Jesus is the Son of God who is the Savior of the world. And He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to get to God except through Him. We cannot compromise on that as well. You remember the thing? I've told you all this a number of times, but it just comes back every time. About 5, 6, 7 years ago, they had a panel. And it was in the Seraphine Center. And I was on that panel, and they had a pastor from what they said was, we're going to get one from every one of the denominations. And they got one from just about every church in the community, lined us all up. There were like 15 of the different denominations. That's how they said it. And they had already given us questions in advance so that we wouldn't be off the top of people's heads. But they would ask a question as, what do you think a person must do to be saved? And they went down the line, and each guy had about a minute to say, here's what we think. There were two, first of all, not one person there except me said, you're saved by faith in Christ alone, not works. Second, when they asked, can a person lose their salvation after they trust in Christ? I was the only one that said you could not lose it. There was one other person who said you can't lose it. However, if you don't live right, you just never had it. And the third question was, is Jesus the only way for salvation? And you would not believe it going down that line of these men, of these churches in this town saying, well, you know, God is a great God and He has a lot of different ways, you know, and whatever your faith tradition may be. And when they got to me, I said, there's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. He's the only way. And there were people who looked at me like, well, how could you say that? Well, because that's what Jesus said. That's not me. That's Jesus. We cannot compromise on things that are right, and so we have to trust God in the situation. We have to trust Him. Moses' parents had to trust Him. Daniel had to trust Him. And you know what happened to Daniel? They threw him in the lion's den, and God shut the mouth of the lions. When we stand for God, we have to trust Him in the consequences. So the first decision by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by 3 months by his parents. Why? Because they saw he was beautiful. They saw he was unique. They saw he was special. They knew that he was the one from God, and they were not afraid of this decree by the king. So let me give you a couple applications, and then we got just a few minutes to open up for questions before we break for prayer. Let me give you a couple applications. The first one is obey God above men. We've got to do that. In times when the law might go against the word, we always obey God rather than men. We have to do that. We live in a culture that is not necessarily demanding that we do things wrong, but it definitely allows people to do things wrong. So we must always obey God. You know, the key thing and the bottom line is we need to know the Scripture and just live our lives based on God's Word, in God's power. I've always said that the Christian life is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit based on God's Word. And that's what we do. The second application to tie in this one is in our decisions, trust God in the circumstances. We have to do that. We have to rest, in fact, knowing that whatever decision we make based on God's Word, that we'll have to trust Him. And humanly speaking, it may not turn out exactly like we wish, but we have to trust Him that He is in control and He's working all things according to the counsel of His will. We trust Him. May we trust God, rest in His plan, as we obey God rather than men. Let's pray and we'll open up for some questions, comments, input. Heavenly Father, thank You as we look at this passage tonight and we see, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months. Why? Because they saw that he was unique and special, and they were not afraid. See, they chose, Lord, we know, to obey You rather than men and to rest in You concerning the circumstances of the consequences. And, Lord, I pray that we'll do the same thing, that as we live our lives in this community, that we will live our lives based on Your Word, and we will obey You rather than our culture and rather than the pull of men. We'll obey Your Word, and that we will trust You in the circumstances of life. We will trust You knowing that when we live according to Your Word, that You are there and You are working all things according to the counsel of Your will. Lord, may we rest in You. Thank You for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.